year 2000. This is an interview with Dr. Frank O. Moxley. The interview takes place in his residence in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Well, thank you, Dr. Moxley, for agreeing to talk to me. I need to get a voice level, so could you give me your full name and your birth date and birthplace, please?
My full name? Mm-hmm. Frank Arthur Moxley.
Okay.
And
you were born... And you were born what year?
1908.
1908, so that makes you 80.
This month I'll be 92.
92, okay. And where were you born?
Right around the corner up here, 626 Fourth Street.
Okay, right here in Bowling Green. Okay. When I talked to you on the phone, I'm not sure how much I told you about what we're trying to do. The Kentucky Historical Society is trying to document the whole effort between 1930 and 1975 to eliminate legal segregation in Kentucky. So some of what I want to ask you today is about you, but some of it is sort of what you can tell me about Bowling Green and the surrounding areas and whatnot and what was happening during certain periods. Tell me a little bit, if you would please, about your growing up, your family, your early education. What do you know, for example, about your ancestors?
Well, we had a pretty close family. I'm the first of six children.
Okay.
And a little later on, my family moved to Gary, Indiana. My father was working for the life insurance company when they were setting it up, and he was on board, and he went to Indiana to get the insurance set up there, and he worked there and died there. My mother was, my grandfather was a minister, and my mother went to school down in, I think it's Montgomery, Alabama, and at that time it was difficult because the only school blacks could go to was a school in this building. It's called Bowling Green Academy. There's a lot of them material up to the Library of Western on that, and on the Dr. Wolf and so forth, and people on that. After I stopped there, about education, the school I went to was State Street School, and I have some pictures of it too, if you need pictures. And my principal was E.E. Reed, and he got me to love math. So I did a lot of math even as I went to college, and then I came back. I taught algebra and geometry. And
let me ask you some questions about your school, because it would have been an all-black school.
It was.
Right. How many people were in your graduating class, approximately?
I would think it's somewhere between 30 and 40 anyway.
Okay. And what year did you graduate?
I have a picture of that too.
Huh? What year did you graduate high school?
1926.
At what point do you think you became aware that you were growing up in a segregated society? Were there any personal situations for you?
Nothing happened in Bowling Green to indicate that. And my people were pretty close. Like I said, my mother went to college and my grandfather was a minister. So we did most of the things that I still do.
You came from a middle class educated family then.
Right. In other words, my grandmother cooked on Saturday, no cooking on Sunday. We all got to sit at the table on Sunday, and each of us had to have a Bible verse. She was in trouble. And then she even cared that after we were married years later and living in Gary, we used to have fish on Sunday and everybody sit together. Mm-hmm. And she had one thing that has changed the whole life of my family and her family too. After she went down to Montgomery, she came back and she discovered how important education was. So she came back and she made one statement: all my children are going to go to college. Mm-hmm. And she did get all of them to college. Mm.
That's quite a miracle.
That's right.
Really.
The table in my kitchen as sort of a little reminder that I used later on when I was bringing the children along. It's just so to have them too. Every night that was a place where they studied.
In your kitchen?
Yeah, and they studied too. Mm-hmm. But, matter of fact, every one of them of us did go to college. Mm-hmm. Two of us got their doctor's degree, the others got master's degrees.
That's wonderful. When you were growing up, though, Dr. Moxley, tell me about stores and restaurants and theaters and whatnot in Bowling Green.
Yeah, I got a piece of proximity around that once, and I got the whole big picture of me and they're talking about that. I don't feel worried. Like somebody asked me, did you drink in water in the park? You know, you used to have water there. I said, yeah, I didn't know you weren't supposed to. The only thing that place where it bothered us was on the corner there where the vacant lot, parking lot, Woolworth had a store there. And they didn't let us eat at the counter. Mm-hmm. Later on, Penny's over there where they got the government's got something now over there. And they had signs black and white and so forth. Mm-hmm. There was nobody that did anything to say you couldn't go in the park or not, or couldn't do this or the other. I don't recall any. Now, my father did have one fight. I think he and another fellow got in a thing with a shovel, but it wasn't like something serious, nothing happened to me.
What about the library? Could you go to the library and check books?
We had a good library at High Street. State Street.
Right, the library.
Yeah, and had a good librarian.
Okay.
Plus the fact, being a family like we read books.
Right.
And you'll see my basement, books, old books now.
Right.
Yeah, we read. My father had this. Here's what he did. This is funny. In those days, you know, the record players was on a can light. Mm-hmm. And we could use a record player, but on Sunday after church, we had to read the Harvard Classic. I still got the copies up there that he made us read.
The Harvard Classics. That's unusual to read in
That's
church,
right.
isn't it?
No, I wasn't in church at home in the afternoon.
I see. Okay.
You didn't go out and play on Sunday afternoon after you went home and you listened to that radio or read the Harvard Classic.
Right. Okay. So you graduated in 1926, and then what happened?
I went to Wilberforce University. That's the Methodist school.
Mm-hmm. In Ohio?
In Ohio.
Uh-huh. And how long were you there?
I graduated from there. I got a B.S. from there.
Okay. And what was your major?
What was my major? I know math was minor. I'm not sure myself. I can look it up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you play athletics?
Some, but I wasn't on the team. I was an observer.
Okay. Instance,
particularly in basketball, because I had a lot of success with basketball afterwards.
Okay. And well, that's sort of where I was going. I was wondering if you had been an athlete while you were growing up.
I was an athlete, but I wasn't quite good enough to But I knew all the little things. For instance, this guy let it here now. A guy came in and he asked me, said, "What was your answer for kids not being able to win?" I said, "They weren't in the best shape. The team weren't in the best shape usually won. Mm-hmm. Best condition."
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to Wilberforce and you graduated in 4 years?
Yeah.
Is that correct? And then what happened?
Well, my father had told us all along that I was going to medical school. when time come to go to medical school, he didn't have the money for me to go to medical school. So I went back to Ohio State one year and to get more work that would qualify me for teaching. And it was when I got through with Ohio State, I really met some good people in Ohio State, particularly the professors, Dr. Reed, and people that wrote books and things, and some of them corresponded with me after I left. But I got a job in Buchrest High School in West Virginia. At the time,
how do you spell that?
I don't know how you spell that.
Buchrest. Okay.
When it came out, I had this job. T.C. Cherry was the superintendent here. He wrote me a letter and said, "We want our young people to come back to Bowling Green, and I want you to come back here, and I got it fixed for you to come back here." Mm-hmm. Well, I came back.
That sounded good to you.
Well, I could have done just as well out there, I suppose, but it helped in a way because I got the climate and the things I wanted to raise a family. Mm-hmm. My family was raised in Bowling Green.
Tell me how you met your wife.
She's my second wife.
Okay.
My first wife was in school also about a year behind me.
Mm-hmm. At Kentucky State?
No, in high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In high school.
So she was here, you wanted to come back?
Well, not necessarily. I wanted a good job.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the job? What was the position that you had?
When I came back, I had a little math. I had a guy hollering at the old hospital a while ago and said, "You want to teach?" I said, "Yeah, you at algebra and geometry." So I came back and I taught algebra and geometry.
Mm-hmm. And how many years did you teach in the school here?
I taught till the school was changed in 66.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first one to switch. They switched up to Bowling Green High School in 66.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about that. Were there any differences that you know between the black and the white schools, both while you were growing up and also while you were teaching at the black school?
I didn't notice them at the time, but some things did happen. For instance, I had one girl who finished Western and wrote a thesis, and in a thesis she pointed out some things that I didn't notice at the time. For instance, she felt like that we had a better school than when they integrated, because most of our teachers had master's degrees and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering though, before integration, for example, when you had textbooks, were they new textbooks?
Yeah, they didn't give us old textbooks.
They didn't give.
I had a good principal, E.T. Buford. He was a go-getter.
Okay.
And because he's the reason I went the direction I did find in my life.
Mm-hmm. And did your school have science facilities and cafeteria and library that were comparable
that
to the white school?
He made sure we had all that.
Okay. So as I understand it, after the Brown decision in 54 that said schools should be integrated, Bowling Green took a while to make that happen.
Yeah, it was five lawsuits.
You were involved with the lawsuit?
No. I was working here, but I wasn't involved in it. A fellow named Henry Alexander and some of the ministers got mm-hmm. together.
Some of the ministers?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not Dr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so they brought the lawsuit. Did they do that with the NAACP?
And then, they were supported by the NAACP.
Okay. Tell me about the NAACP chapter here. Were you a member?
Yeah, I was a member. I've been a member all my life. And this is a funny thing. My father was an NAACP member. And in those days, they paid a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the record, and Western has it, also a copy of it, of the minutes and so forth back way back there when he was a member of the NAACP and I was a student.
Mm-hmm. And many of the NAACP chapters used to have youth groups.
Yeah, I was in that too. Okay. Yeah.
Was, other than the lawsuit to integrate the schools, did the NAACP in the, say, in the 1950s have other issues that they were working on?
Integration was an issue. Some of us, matter of fact, I went to Montgomery once to a march, you know, all that, those things like that.
Down in Alabama, in the 60s?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. How did you go?
Drove a car down and scared to death. This fellow was on Center Street, and he went with me, and he laughed about that two, three times, because he also goes to ball game in the lot.
Who went with you?
White?
Shelby White.
Yeah.
Well, now, did you go down when they had the boycott against the buses in the 50s, or did you go in the 60s when Martin Luther King
was? I think it was in the
60s
when I went, because I went down, I was doing some workshop. I did a workshop at Tuskegee down when I was down there.
Okay. What was the workshop about?
I forgot the issue.
You were taking it, or you were giving it?
I was giving it. I've done workshops just about every place you name.
Okay. So you went to Alabama, and Shelby, were there other people in bowling?
Yeah, one or two. I can't think offhand of them, but there were some others that went.
Okay.
Yeah.
When in the 60s, when we had the sit-ins and the demonstrations in Louisville and Lexington, were there any here in Bowling Green to open up restaurants and lunch counters? And
none
at all. Okay. Why do you think that was?
Well, one thing, I remember the sheriff and the police telling me that there wasn't going to be any marching at Ku Klux Klan and so forth like that, and they made sure. Basketball is a funny thing. Now, we had a big gym down there, and we had the best team in town. Everybody, if you didn't get there early, you didn't get a seat. And we paid the police to watch everything. Mm-hmm. And they watched everything. Mm-hmm. So we had no trouble.
Okay.
I go to Glasgow, why you get scared. I went when they had marches there, but no marches. So I rewarded both the police. I had a workshop down in West Kentucky, and had him a part of it.
let me make sure I understand this. In Glasgow, there were demonstrations?
Yeah, I've been to Glasgow, and they had demonstrations, marches, and everything.
Okay, and what were the demonstrations for?
I really don't know anything.
Okay.
This was no integration.
It was about integration.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me ask you questions about voting. Has voting ever been a problem here for the black
community? Not that I know of. Nobody, but just between my daddy, he wanted to go Republican, I wanted to go Democrat.
Okay. No problem.
Nobody tried to keep you from voting.
Okay, nobody.
I tell you, it's funny, yes, what they did. Yeah, they tried to buy
voting.
That's right. And now I ran for city commission the first time they tried to have it. And I didn't win it because we couldn't pay for the votes and we couldn't buy the whiskey. Whiskey was a big thing. You give me a drink of whiskey, I'll vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they round the polls the whole time. And they'd ask enough for money and so forth. Well, we just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Vote for so-and-so, you get a dollar, you vote for
Uh-huh. And that was, when did you run for city commission?
The first time they tried to have a city commission.
Which would have been in the
60s? 60s.
Okay. Okay. Have there been many blacks who've been elected to, like, school board or
Joe Denon.
Commission?
Joe Denon.
Okay.
He's still on city commission.
Anybody else?
No. I don't recall anybody else, no.
That's not very many, given the size of
Well, they
the
all participate.
Population.
Like, for instance, I went to the Washington, to the Hardin's inauguration banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go to a meeting now...
President Carter's inauguration?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If I go to a meeting now, I'll see three black people, and that's all. They just don't go, don't participate. Now, I missed the meeting the other night, and it really hurt because I had planned to be there, but they got two black people that are going to go to the convention this time. Mm-hmm. But they haven't participated. They didn't let anybody keep them from participating. They just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about going to the Democratic convention. Okay. Well, I understand that you also were the first black to go to Western University. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, after I finished high school, I couldn't go to Western. I couldn't go to UK, and I didn't want to go to Kentucky State. And my mother didn't want me to go either.
Mm-hmm. So, why was that?
So I went to Wilberforce, and I finished in 4 years, and it's like I told you before. But when I come back again, I still couldn't get to go to Western. I couldn't go to Kentucky State. I mean, to Kentucky, University of Kentucky. So Dr. Buford, the fellow I'm talking about, was my principal then, he and I decided to go to Indiana University. Mm-hmm. So we picked out what we wanted to do and enrolled in Indiana University. Now, here's the way we split it up. The classes we would take, like for instance, our biggest hall was leaving here at 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning and going to Indianapolis for class and then coming back.
How far?
I did 17 trips like that.
Wow.
And it wasn't only 65, and high 41W was the road. Mm-hmm. Snow, ice, and everything else.
And how long of a drive is that?
Huh?
How long does it take you to do that drive?
I forgot now. I used to drive up there so often. You know, Indianapolis is less than 300 miles from me. Okay. About 200 some odd miles.
It's a good drive.
Yeah, it was a good drive. And we were going 31W. We were about 65. Mm-hmm. But now, and we had a break in there where sometimes the classes could be, a particular class could be, a place could be utilized for the class. This is over to Evansville. Sometime we'd go to class there, and there's another place over on the Indiana side we could go to class. Mm-hmm. And that when we went to those classes, we'd go on a Wednesday and come right back. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that Mr. Buell told and made me clear with me is that don't sit in the back of the room. Don't get with other blacks. Mm-hmm. Well, that stuck in my craw, and I followed it. Mm-hmm. So when I enrolled in Western, Kelly Thompson was in then. Only two of us enrolled, J.S. Mm-hmm. Arm and myself. And he's pretty well felt like we had been told most of the thing. So I enrolled in a class that the state was requiring the superintendents in these small schools to take some kind of courses. Mm-hmm. And I was in the class. Mm-hmm. I didn't sit in the rear, I sit in front. Mm-hmm. About a week later, there was two whites there too, then with me. Mm-hmm. A little later on, most of the superintendents knew me and were asking me why they could get somebody to work in that school. Mm-hmm. I helped a lot of them get there.
Well, that was certainly.
But now, there's been a lot of arguing about who finished first. Now, see, it's two differences. I was in the master in the main part. The master part of Western. The other one was in the its other part. And we had other people that went in the next year. Mm-hmm. And they said, I finished first. But my wife can tell you that. When we swear it was out in the yard, wasn't it?
No, it was inside.
Well, so we had some out in the yard.
It was when you graduated.
Graduated.
My daughter and I went to his graduation, mm-hmm. and we sat down, like any other graduates' people would. So we sat down, and a lady came to us and said, "You'll be more comfortable if you sit up there." So I said, "No, we'll sit here since we're already here."
Right.
So That was all there was to it. We didn't say anything, wasn't any argument or anything. But he was the only one that graduated. He was the only one.
How did you find, how did the teachers treat you?
Fine. One or two of them was real buddies of mine later on.
And how about the other students?
Particularly that the other students were all right. I was going to get to that, tell you that later. About that. They were all right. I didn't have any problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were a coach for a number of years of some pretty successful teams.
I understand.
What was it like to go from a segregated team and league to an integrated coaching situation? How was it for you, and how was it for the players?
Well, I think the folks here before they were hit on this. I was going to say first, I taught at Western in the summer after I got my degree from I think most of them were all white. And I had a way of making things people comfortable. Like, let's have class out in the yard, let's do this and that other. So I was pretty popular with the students I taught. In counselor education. Now counselor education, that's another thing that's important. Before I got my degree from Western, my principal came to me. We ran the house in Bloomington in the summer, and I went to school. So he came by one summer, and I got enrolled in the things I was going to take to get a master's degree from Indiana University. And he said, look, I got something to tell you. He said, you don't want to be old principal. He said, I got something better than that. And what had happened, the state had gotten with him and worked out with him that I could work for the state in introducing elementary guidance and guidance. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll try it. So I stopped right there, and I didn't finish that course even. So when school started that year, I was out with one of the teams I was coaching. Here come two fellows with Mr. Buford out there, one would come in and talk to him. And they offered me an offer where I would work for the state in Western Kentucky in guidance and tell them what to buy, show them, indicate to them how it works and everything. And so that got me started working with black and white, because I didn't have no black counselors. Mm-hmm.
But did you still coach while you were doing
I still
that?
Coached.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you want how to get the coaches, get the difference in the kid. I had the real trouble when you get to that part of the Bible where it says turn the other cheek, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of help. I guess maybe people looked at me and said, well, he ain't nothing. But I remember I took weeks, and we had a nice gym down there, and I put signs up about people hitting and about this and about doing that, and not doing what do you do and so forth. Mm-hmm. Then I insisted that all of them go to church Sunday. I want to see them in church and Sunday school. So all of them, too. So finally I got around to where they kind of tentatively accepted the fact that they would be spit on or hit or kicked or something like that. But what happened was, I can't think of the coach's guy named the referee. He came over and told me, he said, don't worry about a thing, coach. And this boy, Taylor boy, got spit on right then when we were in our gym. Then he got kicked, and he took the, but he did what he had to do, get rid of them. Mm-hmm. He stopped them from spitting on the boy and doing things to the boys they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Now, the way I did it, I played all these teams around in all these white schools. Mm-hmm. If I didn't win and it wasn't fair, I would be sitting like I'm sitting now, and I'd sit there till all the boys got dressed, and I said, well, thank you, good night. Now, some guys now, of course, got Franklin said, we never could beat you. I won them over where they wouldn't do things. Yeah.
Right. Okay. How would you evaluate the progress of race relations in Bowling Green?
That's kind of hard. Miss Downs called me last week. I didn't want to miss. And she wanted to know about getting the teachers that have retired to come to the Kentucky Education Association and watch the meeting. I'm about the only one that goes. They're not that anybody's done anything to them. They just haven't learned how to relate to all people.
So the black teachers,
yeah,
really just...
They haven't learned to relate.
They don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
They won't relate. Now, the same thing could happen to you and have me in basketball. If I stuck my nose out and blamed this and fussed about this, they wouldn't want to relate to me then. I think some of them really felt bad after they beat me. but I won them over.
But do you think that that maybe they could relate if they wanted to, but they've just decided they
didn't
they
want to? Yeah,
to. It's not worth the effort.
I guess that's so. And we played everywhere. That's why it was a success. We played in Ohio, also up in Cincinnati places, and we played in style. I'm sure there's some pictures that all in that next room on the wall. You see the team and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And. But I had no problems. Larry Doty was working at the time, and he looked at me when he going to another play. Does the referee know you? then he's gonna act nice because the referee gonna be. Yeah.
Tell me who you would say were some of the black leaders in Bowling Green when it came to promoting. Better situations for the black community.
Most of them did, I expect.
Well, that's okay. You could just tell me.
This boy Henry Alexander, the one I was talking about, Mr. Except maybe Reverend Jackson, that no have had any touch at all with racial problems.
Is Reverend Jackson still alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the church out on Church Street.
Okay. Were there any women?
We didn't have no women pastors or preachers.
Right.
But there were women preachers, though. Occasionally one would be brought in for revival.
Right. But were there any women that you would call leaders in the community,
yeah,
the black
yeah,
community?
Yeah, quite a few.
Can you tell me some of their names?
Mrs. Taylor was one.
What did she do?
She was a teacher, and there's a little building on Wall State and Third that they put up called a little center. They used to use that for activities. Miss Moses, Miss Hutchison. Mm-hmm. We had some real good teachers, and Mr. and Mrs. Nichols and Miss Moore. They came out of Ohio. They came, both of them came well before so that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So they were good teachers.
Okay. Were there ever any women who were president of the local NAACP?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but we had no idea because we changed around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Ms. Downs was, too. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think of somebody else before Ms. Downs came to town.
Ms. Moses or Ms. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Taylor.
Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a few.
Well, now tell me how you two met.
Well, how did we meet? It's been so long.
How long?
No, he was, he of course was teaching, and I was in the cafeteria. So.
And you met that way?
No, we met for that.
How long have you been together?
We met because I
lay,
for 10 years every summer I would go to New York and work in food processing.
Mm-hmm.
And so one summer, and she would go to Chicago, go to Indianapolis and work there. So she came up to
New York.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rochester. And we just went from there and went on. Mm-hmm.
That was, we married in 49 or
50. He's in the 40s.
Okay.
In the 40s.
Right. So you've been together.
50-some,
oh,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yes.
You think you'll stay together?
We might.
Okay. Okay. Well, is there anything else about the whole movement to eliminate segregation that I haven't asked you that you want to tell me about?
I don't know. I later on belong to just about every group in town. What's the layman? What's the pretty? What's the one? The blue jacket I got. I can't remember my name now.
It was an organization.
Uh-huh. And we, you know, we had one in the county and had one in the city. I still get the Chamber of Commerce stuff from the for the county.
Was it a commission on human rights?
No, it was. Come on, Pearlie.
I can't think.
What did the group do?
We did had practical projects in the community. For instance, we helped to, when they first started setting up food for the. For people that needed food, and we paid for rental and bought equipment from them and did all that thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And matter of fact, we went to Europe.
Went to Europe.
Yeah.
So. Wow, that sounds like a good trip.
Yeah, so. I can't think of it. Okay. I hate to get up and go in there and get the damn. Remember that?
That's all right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking with me.
So. You didn't